I want to talk for a moment to the moms out there, whether you have one kid, two kids, or 10. The one out there with a dream in her heart who maybe feels like she is not able to go and step out into her dream or even think about it, or maybe even feels guilty about pursuing her dream because of being a mom. Maybe you feel like being a mom should be all that you do, all that you think of, and that doing anything else robs your kids of you. Well, this episode is for you today. I have Christine St. Ville, who is a speaker, author, social media trainer, and homeschool mom of three. She's also a wife of soon to be 16 years this year. She's the founder of The Social Scoop, where she helps small businesses harness the power of social media to grow their business and brand. She has traveled to places, y'all, such as Disney and the beautiful islands of Turks and Caicos to write about events and travel. And she has been behind the scenes on movies such as Lady and the Tramp on Disney Plus and interviewed the stars of Black Panther. As an award-winning content creator, she was also an instructor in the Steve Harvey Success Institute for 4 years, where she taught blogging and social media for entrepreneurs. And her work has been featured in numerous local and national TV and media outlets, including VOA, Fox 5 DC, ABC, News Channel 8, WBAL, WHUR, Madame Noir, Huffington Post, HuffPost Live, Black Enterprise, Sirius XM, Rolling Out, and Essence Magazine, amongst others. Whew, y'all. And she is not spending time with family or working. You can find her enjoying a good cup of caramel latte or playing Uno. And let me go back to the first part where Christine is a homeschool mom of three. Yes, let that sit for a moment. Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, she must be a super mom. No. And Christine's going to talk to us today about how she does not do all the things, how she does not like the term super mom, and how she was able to, after she left her job with three kids under three, where God took her next and how she took a leap of faith into starting her blog, and then how all of that turned into all of those things I just named that she is currently doing or has done. She's also going to talk about how we need to step out and do it afraid, how we can get unstuck and go from the idea or dream we have in our heart into action, how to just plain get out of our own way. Because y'all know we can get in our own way with all types of excuses and fears and just do nothing. She's going to talk to us really in depth, and this really touched me, y'all, about choices and how we're always in choice. Right? And we don't have to be a victim to our circumstances or excuses or feeling like we can't put up boundaries. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about boundaries as well. And then how do we deal with a full plate? How to really prioritize? Because it's not about doing all the things. Remember last week we talked about slowing down and peeling back and really getting to the root of what we need to do. And our theme this season is living on purpose. So it's not about doing all the things. So I want us to remove that thought out of our head. And Christine's going to give us some very, very, very practical tips on how we don't need to do all the things. We really just need to take the time to set boundaries, learn how to say no, and even remove things off the full plate that, guess what, guys, we have made full ourselves. Yeah, that's a hard thing to accept. I was saying ouch all through this interview because it's so true. We have made that plate full for ourselves. Well, I took almost a page and a half of notes listening to this interview again. And so I want you to grab your notebook, grab your pen, grab your cup of coffee or your cup of water or whatever. Get in a quiet place. Or if you're walking, I want you to be in a place where you can fully listen to what Christine has to share with us today. Because y'all, it is going to be life-changing. It is going to free you and is going to propel you to finally pursue that dream that is in your heart. Not when your kids get grown, but right now in your mommy season. All right, let's hop in right now, guys. Do you feel the tug or pull in your heart calling you to more? Do you feel like it is too late or that you're too broken to pursue the dream in your heart? Well, you've come to the right place. I'm Latasha, and welcome to the Overcome to Become podcast. Pull up a seat and join me each week for real talk, life-changing truths, and actionable takeaways. We are diving into any and everything that has been holding you back from becoming who you were meant to be in every area of your life. Hey, welcome back, friends. I have a special, special guest with me today who I have been waiting for you all to hear her story and just everything about her. So I first met her through my sister-in-law. And she has just kept saying, hey, you need to meet Christine. You got to meet Christine. She is really doing the thing. And just all, she is a mom and she's balancing all the stuff and she's out there and on social media and blogging and made a business of, you know, for herself. And so I thought, especially with this season, focusing on living on purpose, she would be a wonderful guest and an inspiration to you all. So welcome, Christine.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Latasha, and that beautiful introduction. I am so honored to be here and grateful that Kelly connected us again.
Yes, me too. So you tell us a little bit, you're a speaker, an author, social media trainer, which I'm super curious about, homeschool mom of three, woohoo, and a wife of 15 years. And I've been married 15 years this year. Is it 15 years this year or coming up or 16 this year for you?
It'll be 16 this year.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
Sweet 16.
Yes. Awesome. So share with us a little bit about your journey and how you have come to where you are and how you're, you know, balancing all the titles and doing all the things that you're doing.
Yes. Awesome. Well, okay. So I don't know how much time we have. Go ahead, girl.
We got time.
So just a little background about myself. Mm-hmm. I am a second generation American. My parents are from Uganda and Rwanda. So, and I am one of seven kids. So I'm number six. And then I have a younger brother. So myself and my younger brother were the only ones that were actually born here in the States when my dad came over to work for the government. But, you know, grew up knowing very, very well that where we came from, my parents were very strict about, you know, our culture. We grew up, my sisters and I grew up in the performing arts. We performed all over the country, sometimes internationally, places like the Kennedy Center and all of that. And so it's funny because when my sister and I wrote our book, it's called Whose Shoes Are You Wearing? Mm-hmm. And we wrote our book from the perspective of, you know, being raised in America with a very African traditional set of parents, right? Ah. And so, you know, how we had to straddle the fence of like basically two different identities, right? Mm-hmm. So we wanted to be American and fit in with our friends at school. And then we come home and our parents be like, yeah, you are African. This is what we do. You are Ugandan. You are, like, this is what we do, right? Exactly. Don't forget where you come from. And so I definitely feel like those lessons, those things that we were, you know, grew up with have been able to kind of keep me stable in my journey, like always pulls me back to where I'm from and to really love where I come from, because it took us a long time to love where we came from, to appreciate our culture, to appreciate everything from our names and, you know, how we looked and all of that good stuff. And then, you know, as we're getting older and over the last several years, you know, African culture has become like the thing, right?
Yeah.
And so from the music, Afrobeats, like y'all know what y'all listen to this? Like, you know, and so, so it's amazing to see. And I think that, you know, it definitely is something that has poured, you know, before we were, you know, started this interview, we're just talking about our kids and different things. And for us, like it's always been important, especially for my daughters to love who they are, to start with self-love, because it took me so long to get to that point. And I was like, I don't ever want y'all to struggle with that. I don't ever want you to think that you're not worthy. And so it's funny because I became a stay-at-home mom to three kids under three when I left my job.
Wow.
This was 2011. And I was about six and a half months pregnant with our youngest daughter.
Wow.
And so it was an environment that became toxic. And my husband was like, you need to leave. And I was like, we about to have our third child. Are you crazy? Like, I can wing it. I can hold out until I'm on maternity leave. And then I'll look for something else.
Yeah.
Well, that is funny because that just wasn't going to happen. I started, you know, getting Braxton Hicks contractions. This was like 6 months. And I was just like, just stressed, right? Couldn't sleep, just all of these things. So I ended up leaving my job and, you know, again, my plan was to go back to work, find a job. I loved what I did. I worked in HR, and I always loved working in HR. And I was like, okay, I'll just find something else. And so, yeah. you know, got on maternity leave or got home and actually was working as a contracting recruiting okay. for a company after I left, you know, until I had my daughter. And, you know, being home, I was like, yeah, that's not where you're going. And so literally I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. And so in that process of being home, a couple of things happened. One, I did deal with a little bit of postpartum depression with my youngest being at home, right? Not being able to really have an outlet. And so in that space of trying to find myself and who I was, one of my outlets was Facebook groups, mommy Facebook groups, and being able to connect with other moms.
Yeah.
And one of the things, the common conversations that would come up is, you know, people asking like, what are some of your goals? What do you want to do? And a lot of times moms would be like, well, I, you know, as soon as my daughter or my son, you know, starts kindergarten, as soon as they graduate from high school, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And I would always be like, well, why you got to wait for them to do that? Like to me, I was, you know, even though I didn't know what I was doing or what I was going to do, I was like, well, why can't you do both? Like that to me was just my thought process. Mm-hmm. And so that is really how Moms in Charge, which is my blog, got started, was to help moms take charge of their lives, of their identity. You know, I always say I became a victim to identity theft, and that was motherhood. Motherhood became, you know, stole my identity and who I was, who I thought I was. I know you can't relate.
Yes.
And I had to find myself. And so the blog was actually something that I needed for myself, because as I'm helping to, you know, encourage other moms, I'm like, oh yeah, I needed this for me. Like I need to, you know, figure out what I want to do. And even then I wasn't sure exactly where I wanted to go with it, but I knew that it was something that God was taking me to. And it's funny, because I think I just shared this story with Kelly the other day, that before it was Moms in Charge, the blog was actually called Speak on Faith. Because for whatever reason, I knew that God was calling me to step out of my comfort zone and to speak. Like, I don't know, I felt like it was something in the public arena. And I was just like, you're crazy. Like, this is not, I am not that person. And I was like, it's going to take a whole lot. Okay, I'm put all my faith in you. Like, you know what you're doing. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And so that's what it was called before. And I mean, to see where he has taken me and all the different paths that I've had, you know, in my journey over the last several years, I'm just like, okay, I see. So like, that's pretty much how I got here, you know, being able to blog and all of that kind of forced me to understand how to use social media. And so, you know, that then, you know, allowed me to work with brands like Disney and Beaches Resorts and let me see other, you know, other different brands that I've worked with. And then it also allowed me to be able to teach and train other businesses and entrepreneurs on how to use social media. So I actually, you know, one of the things in the journey that God continues to teach me is doing it afraid over and over again, even when you don't have the answers.
That's good.
It's like, but I don't know how. Yeah. And a lot of times we're waiting for the how before we take that first step. And we miss certain opportunities or certain paths that God wants us to take because we're waiting for the how. And so one of the examples that I can share is that, you know, several years ago, one of my first coaches was starting an online virtual school for personal development and entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, so Christine, like, I think, you know, I would love for you to teach some classes, right? You know, blogging and social media for business. And I was like, I ain't never put together no class. No, you know, let me think about it.
Yeah.
I ain't never put together no classes.
Yeah.
And so I took a few days and I almost went back to her and said no, because I knew that this class was going to be live. I was going to be on camera. They were going to be able to interact with me. And I was like, and I had never put together any classes before. Like I knew what to do, but I had never actually taught it before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, after a few days of deep breaths, I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to do it. So I just put together, you know, it was five classes, a total of 10, but it was five different classes. And so, you know, I ended up doing it. And then literally a year later, she got hired to be the SVP for Steve Harvey's Act Like a Success company.
Wow.
And doing that, they wanted something similar to the virtual school. And so literally the five instructors that she had teaching in her company, she brought on to work with her and Steve Harvey. And so I taught for 4 years in this Act Like a Success Institute, blogging and social media for business. So that's just one of many times that is just like, had I said no to that opportunity, like I wouldn't have done this over here.
Oh my goodness. Because as you're talking, my brain is like just so many things in that. And I thought, because you just went right into the next thing I was going to ask you about is, you know, there's someone listening thinking, okay, yeah, I do have all these ideas and maybe I've even penciled them down. But maybe they're in this analysis by paralysis, guilty. Let me learn a little bit more. Let me try to get skills. Let me go get a degree. Let me go and, you know, get somebody to try to show me or Lord, can't you just pick somebody more qualified? You know, why me? You know, all the different things. Talk to us a little bit about how did you get, because, you know, you can get stuck for a moment in that. How did you get unstuck and finally make that decision? Let's rewind back to just you beginning the blog. How did it come from just idea? How do you go from idea to actual a blog?
Right. That's a great question. And what I've realized even recently is that all of those things that you just mentioned, like I need a degree, I need this, I need that, those are all excuses to keep us from doing the thing that we're fearful of doing. And so even with my blog, I had no clue how to even start. Like it was a thing that I heard about and I didn't even have a plan for where it was going to lead me. But I was like, well, if I do decide to start a business, I guess having a blog would be helpful. Right. And so I had no, like, when I tell you no clue, like I go back to some of those first blog posts and I was like, oh my goodness. Like what in the world is this? But I think one of the things that I realized early on that we just have to get out of our own way. And so sometimes it means disconnecting from certain people or environments. Sometimes it means inserting yourself in certain environments and surrounding yourself with certain people. And so for me, once I realized that, okay, I'm going to take a stab at this entrepreneurship thing, I knew that I needed to surround myself with people who knew way more than I did. So right. I started out with a coach, but even at the time around the time I started blogging was also around the time that we decided we were going to homeschool. Like, who does that? And so I was like, okay, we're going to start a business. And then, okay. So I literally like remember telling my coach how like, I can't, like I was crying on the phone. I was like, this is too hard. I can't do this. And she was like, okay, but we all have a choice. And so she was like, list all of the things that you have on your plate. And then if you're saying that homeschooling is a priority and growing your blog is a priority, then why you have all of these things that are stressing you out? And so at the time, you know, I was in my gospel choir at church and some other activities. And she was like, okay, are they going to stop singing if you don't go to like... She's like, I'm not trying to be funny, but like, that's if this is not in the season, one of your priorities, this is where you say your priority is, then you have to be clear about the choices you're making. And that was hard for me to hear, but I was like, okay. So like literally every time and any time that I've been faced with an obstacle or I'm feeling stuck and I'm like, okay, but if all of this stuff is on my plate, like it's because I chose to put it on my plate. And now I have to make the decision on what I need to remove in order to take that next step.
Ah, but that means though, so tell me, how did you get past disappointing people? Because I can hear someone saying like, oh, Christine, that sounds so easy. Like, okay, no, I'm not going to do that. Sorry, girls. I can't be meeting with you on Fridays anymore in a non-COVID season. You know, sorry, you know, I'm not doing that. Remove this, remove that. I'm not going to be on that committee, et cetera. It sounds really easy to just say that and do that. But how do you get past disappointing people?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that question because that was definitely a struggle in the beginning. Now, remember, I told you I'm one of seven children. We all have children, except for my youngest brother. We all have children. So that's a 14, 15 nieces and nephews in the family.
Wow.
And we all live in the same area. There is always something going on. There is, you know, we're talking pre-COVID here, but there's always something going on. There's a soccer game. There's this game. There's a basketball game. Da, 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 always being pulled. Literally in that moment, and as I'm talking to her and as we're going through like the choices we make and all of this, and I remember actually one of the very first media interviews I did, I talked about this. And so one of the things that we talk about in my book, I wrote a chapter about no is a complete sentence. I had to get so uncomfortable using that word because I had to learn how to build boundaries. And it got to the point where it was like, okay, well, like I do have my own family. I do have my own priorities. Like I can't be there for everyone else and also do these things that I say are priority. So I remember like the interviewer asked me, so you say no even to your mom? I was like, yeah, when I need to. Actually, yes, I've had to because, you know, if I don't, like,
I've been there.
So yeah. I literally have like, you know, walked people through like different ways, because of course, if you're not used to saying no, if you're not used to stepping back, pulling yourself out of situations and creating those boundaries, it's really hard in the beginning. And so, you know, sometimes it means, you know what, let me think about it. Right. Take some time. Like it may not be a no right away. You may need to like step away and then come back and say no. But there's different ways that you can build up to being, you know what? Like, no, I'm not going to do it. So one of the things that I did is like I built a do nothing weekend, a monthly do nothing weekend to help me kind of get in that habit of saying no. So anytime something would pop up, if there was, you know, a game here, this event, that event, I was like, oh, sorry, I can't. I'm not. Are you? Yeah, I'm busy. No, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm not going anywhere, doing anything for anybody but the people in my house.
Yes, I'm busy doing nothing.
I'm busy doing nothing.
Yes.
But what it did is it helped me to get comfortable with setting my boundaries and respecting those boundaries, because, you know, Iyanla says it in one of my favorite quotes, we treat people how to treat us. We teach people how to treat us.
So true.
And so if we sometimes, many times, we have to retrain people on how to treat us. And, you know, that was one of the things that I had to do like early on. It was like, okay, if I say these are the things that I'm really focused on, that I really want to do, and no excuse, you know, is going to get in the way of that, then it's going to mean that you're going to disappoint people. That's just the nature of life. Like, and it's not, you know, intentional, but those people who really love you and understand and appreciate you, they're going to understand and they're going to respect that. And so sometimes it's just, hey, you know, I'm working on some things right now, some goals. And in order to reach them, I'm going to have to set some new boundaries.
This is
what it looks like for me. And so that way it's a continuous conversation, but you have to be willing to be consistent with it. And not go back to your old habits, because it's easy to be like, oh, but it's just, okay, this one time.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm going to do it. And then it turns back into like, you lost what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. And I always say that it's not, I was in conversation with someone and I said, you know, you're upset with that person who keeps asking you to do the things, or all those people. You're like, just stop asking me. Don't ask. You see, but the people are not going to stop asking.
Because they keep saying yes.
Because you keep saying yes, you've trained them, like you said.
Yep.
You've trained them that you're always available. You're always going to say yes. You're always going to, you know, just at their beck and call, come. And would you say this too? And this is maybe a little, you kind of get a little bit of rush out of it too. Like always people need me and
people do need
me to, you know, be there. And sometimes that can be the case too, of you want to be, you want to feel needed.
Yes.
Wanted. You don't want to disappoint people. You're people pleasing. And I think I read somewhere before too, that even with some of the people pleasing, which I thought, ooh, that's a toe crunching moment. It's control sometimes too, with that's built all into that. And so, being consistent, I like that, being consistent all the time. And it may just mean, I know for me, I struggled with it for so long, and it came to the point where I became bitter, so bitter, because I was like, I want to do these things and nobody sees and nobody appreciates me and everybody's using me and all of that. And, you know, I love God because he'll turn it right around after you, after you scream and cry and do all of that and just whisper, but it's you.
But it's you. Exactly. And honestly, Latasha, that's the biggest thing that we don't want to face. So even as my coach was telling me, but you're always in choice. Like you made the decision to do all of this. And so that is my foundation. Like anytime I'm faced with, it's like, oh yeah, I did this. Like I said yes to this and I knew that I shouldn't have said yes to it. And so then it forces me to like sit down and, okay, what did I say were my priorities? If it doesn't fall in these categories, then I have to say no. Like even this year was having a conversation with someone. I was like, oh yeah, I'm not going to be able to do X like at all this year, because like I have some really heavy, serious goals. And if I don't stay, like if I, you know, create, you know, things for other activities to fall into, like it's going to take me off my path. And I know, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So yeah. A lot of times it's really hard. Like, you have to get out of that habit, but it takes accountability. So find someone who, you know, you can be accountable with, not someone who's going to be like, oh yeah, girl, you did great, knowing good and well that you didn't.
Yes. You need someone who can give you a swift kick in the butt every once in a while, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've always had an accountability partner. I've always had some type of coach, some type of, you know, small group that I can bounce ideas off of, that I can say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Like, what do you think about this? Because sometimes we're too close to the situation, right? We're too close to it to see clearly where we need to go. And it's like right there. And if you just have the right people and you can get the right counsel, then it makes things so much easier. Like, we weren't meant to do all of these things by ourselves. And so many times, especially as moms and women, we're like, oh, we got to do this. Cause you know, I almost say I hate, but I just like the super mom title, because it's so unrealistic that, like, I don't want to be like termed a super mom. I'm not. Like, I tell everybody, they're like, how do you do it? I don't do it all. I was like, my husband is very hands-on. I was like, we have a village. I have, you know, sisters and brothers that I call on. Like, I don't do it all. I don't ever pretend to do it all. And I don't ever want it to come off as if I do.
Yeah. And I think it's the like you said, the super mom, you know, the boss mom, you know, all of the different things, and just doing it. And I think sometimes that wraps up too. We get into the guilt of, you know, now we have these kids and they're supposed to be our life, which I think part of me, I don't like that term either, that kids are our life.
I am right there with you. I do not agree with it. And that is goes back to why I started the blog. Like, you have an identity.
Yes.
And you had an identity before you became a mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, your children are a vessel. They are, you know, part of your purpose, but they are not your entire purpose.
No, they're not. And for me, now having two adult, and I sound so funny, adult children, semi-adult kind of, but having two adult children, that's when you really realize, like, they are with you for a certain amount of time. I had a lady tell me the other day, she says, you know, in order to shift in your mind, when you look at your children, she said, your children are not yours to own. They're yours to steward.
Exactly.
And she said, we struggle with all the guilt, the super mom, the I got to be here, the helicopter mom. You know, now we have in education the term lawnmower mom, one level above the helicopter mom. But, you know, we have to do all of these things. And it stems from, because we own these kids, we have to make sure that they're this way and make sure they don't make a mistake and make sure they do, you know, are right there, you know, with them all the time, instead of stewarding what God has given us and knowing that they're going to go and do their own thing eventually, right? And it's a limited amount of time. And then where do we find ourselves then?
Right. And I'm so glad you said that, because one hot topic that I see from time, I don't see it as much now, but I definitely see it coming up in, you know, when we say, like, I think I even wrote a blog post, something like, my kids are not my first priority and here's why. And I talk about how, you know, my husband and I, like, our relationship comes first, because if we don't have a strong relationship, then how can we steward our children? How can we guide them if, you know, they see parents who are not loving, are not respectful, you know, are not, you know, together? Not only that, but like you said, they're only here with us in the house for a short time. Like, I don't want them to leave. And I'm looking at my husband like, okay, so what's your name again?
Yeah. Who are you again?
Who are you? What is it? How did we get here? Like, let's start from scratch, you know, but we talk, and we always teach our kids, like, the importance of mindset and thinking for themselves and making smart decisions, you know, and just understanding, like, we're not always going to be able to pick you up. Like, how do you come back from setbacks? How do you, you know, correct problems or errors or issues that you've had? You know, there's always a way to do it. But, like, that's one of the reasons why we're always teaching them that, because we can't be there all the time. And so, you know, I love that you shared that.
Yeah. So then tell me, how do you, for those who maybe are doing their, you know, started their blog, started speaking, doing this, and now they feel that they put themselves on the back burner. Maybe they're balancing other things, but just how do you ensure that you are taking care of yourself, because there's only one of us, right? And sometimes we run, you know, we try to run on empty. We don't try to, but we do run on empty. Mm-hmm. How do you ensure, I know saying no is part of that, that you have some time for yourself to take care of yourself?
Yes, I love that. Actually, one of the first quotes I saw not long after I started my blog was, "Fly, first love yourself, everyone else comes after." And so then I adapted the Fly Mom mantra, because I'm like, this is for us. Like, yes, even you, mom, you need to love yourself first. Mm-hmm. If you can't love yourself first, you can't possibly love anyone else. You can't possibly teach your kids how to love themselves. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, for me, it became, you know, starting with setting those boundaries, right? Those mini, you know, boundaries, especially because I wasn't doing that before. So mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, you have to start with like those smaller steps, right? Then when you, you know, get used to that, you can add stuff to it. So it's funny because I always used to say, I'm not a morning person. Like, I'm a night owl. I'm not a morning person. And I don't know if you listen to Eric Thomas, but I'm a super huge fan of, he's known online as E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. Amazing, amazing, world-class motivational speaker, author. Just his story is amazing. But yeah, one of the things that he said was, you know, he talked about how like habits and how like people are like, you know, I'm not a morning person. You know, one of the things he always talks about is waking up at 3 a.m. for, you know, to get the day started. And so, you know, I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Like, I ain't doing that. You know,
I'm just rolling over at that time.
Right. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm just going to bed. Like, what do you mean? And so, you know, one of the things, you know, being shut down in this quarantine season, I think, you know, has forced all of us to really like take inventory of the things that are important to us, the things that, you know, we say that we want to make time for. And I have never really liked working out. Like, I've done like, you know, Zumba and stuff like that, but you know, and it definitely, like, I'm not a morning person. I was said I wasn't a morning person. I just tweeted this the other day and I was like, oh, but it's because I'm choosing not to be, right? And so that's one of the things that Eric Thomas, I'm like, oh, I'm choosing not to be. And so this quarantine, like, my husband has been my personal trainer. Like, we've been working out. We do it like three to four times a week. Yeah. We work out together, you know, and now it's to the point where I'm like, are we working? Like, I'm getting up before my alarm and it's like, oh, I need to work. Like, are we working out? I still look at him side eye, you know, when I'm in pain and work, but I'm like, oh, this is what it means, like, to like change your habits, right? And decide like, no, you're going to do something different because you know that you could be healthier. You could have more energy. Like, and that's one of the things. It's like, I don't have energy, but like, there's something that I can do to change that. And so I had to make the choice to do it.
Absolutely. And it sets your day. Don't you?
Oh my gosh.
It's my husband and I are opposite, and he's in that, like, he's more of the, even though he has to go to work early, so he's up, you know, earlier, but I'm up there before the birds and the worms. I'm just up there. You know, I like, because it sets your, I feel like it sets your day. When I used to get up, you know, to the kids going, I'm hungry, I want cereal. That's how
the first thing in the morning, right?
I know, that's how it start my day. And then it would just go down from there. And so I'm like, no, I need to take back that. And set, you know, working out, reading, praying, meditating, whatever it may be, getting my schedule together for that day so that the day doesn't take control of me, but I can take control of my day. So,
and it's so important, because one of my goals this year was to say, okay, kids are getting older and my son's in middle school. My daughter will be in middle school next year. Mm. And it was like, we need to, you know, really work on their curriculum and what we want them to do for school. So I'm like, I need to carve out time during the day so that I'm not at my desk on my laptop. How can I change that? How can I change my schedule, fit everything in, and still be there to help them with their schoolwork, since we homeschool? And so working out early in the morning and being up early in the morning and then getting stuff done before they even wake up. And then, you know, it just changes everything.
Yeah. So would you say then, I heard you listening to you say that, it's the word flexibility came to mind, and willingness to change based on the seasons.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure there's a mom out there. Maybe she has a little infant or a mom of a kid going into middle school, and the seasons are changing. Talk a little bit about that flexibility and willingness to shift and change when your seasons change, especially being a mom.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, like, when I hear you say that, I'm reminded of something that that has stuck with me and something that I'm always like, okay, you need to give yourself grace because things changed. Things change all the time. And then when you're on social media and you see like, how are these moms able to do all this stuff? They cleaning their house. They're doing this. They got these reels where they're turning their house from crazy to clean. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here in a pile of laundry and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I just always, I'm like, give yourself grace. You're not them, right? You don't know what they have on their plate. You don't know what kind of help they have.
To that.
And I mean, for me, like that's, that the flexibility thing is huge because, you know, granted, you know, I can kind of make my own schedule, but, you know, as they've gotten older, right, it's gotten easier. Like we were talking about how, you know, they're a little bit more independent now. They can do things. Whereas when they were younger, it was like, okay, what do you need? Like, all right, so I got to sit down here,
right here.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So I think that, you know, it's important to, you know, be flexible. Like, you know, even for myself, there's been a lot of moms that have come to me and I was like, oh, we're thinking about homeschooling. I'm like, listen, just understand that you need to be flexible. Understand that, you know, what your child was doing as a traditional schedule for school is not going to work at home. So don't try to create an 8-hour schedule at home. You're going to frustrate yourself. You're going to be upset, like all of these things. And so I think that that's important, so important to just understand, like, one, once you get clear about what your goals are as a mom, as a family, like start to create your schedule around that. Start to, you know, fill things in around that, because oftentimes we allow like what we think other people want us to do or what we should do. And we don't take time to be quiet, sit still and determine what we want, what we really want to do.
Oh, I like that. So for the one who you started up your blog, I'm thinking the one who's listening and saying, you know, I've started these things and, you know, I want to continue, but, you know, how do I get to a place where maybe I'm doing, or not how do I get to a place, but I've gotten to a place where, okay, I'm blogging, I'm doing this and I'm getting anxious because I feel like it's not going anywhere. I'm doing the same thing over and over. You know, I want to, you know, go into a different door and I'm just at this place where I'm like, what am I supposed to do next? And is it worth, you know, doing what I'm doing? Is it worth it? When you had seasons or spaces like that, what did you do in those spaces?
Yeah, I think that those are great questions, because I definitely have had situations like that. And oftentimes I'm like, okay, I think it's time to take a break, you know, take a step back so that I can evaluate, like, is this something that I still want to continue doing? Do I want to, and if I want to pursue something else, what does that look like? Is it something that I can start on the side, like maybe devoting 1 or 2 hours a week to, you know, just starting to get that together? You know, for me, like my blog was doing, you know, I was doing well with my blog in terms of, you know, some income in there, but I was like, okay, but I want to do more. Like, what else can I do? And then the opportunity to be able to teach classes, and then the opportunity to be able to actually help and manage social media for other people, other brands, other businesses came about. And I was like, oh, like, I think I like this. But then there were also times where, because I was doing that, I had to say no to opportunities that came about for the blog, you know? And so, yeah, so I would do, you know, I would get the opportunity to cover events, film events and things like that in California with Disney Films. And, you know, there were a couple times that I was just like, ooh, I can't do it, because I'm over here trying to do this thing. So there is a time where you have to either make a decision or be flexible in what it now looks like. Like, it may have to look different than what you're used to, and that's okay. I think, you know, the bottom line is, like, I don't think anyone should ever stay stuck in a place that is no longer serving their purpose or bringing them joy.
Love that. Good point. Good point. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So it's, and just listening to your story, I'm a big believer that God opens the right door at the right time. That, you know, I know there's some people who believe in the, you know, karate chopping and kicking down the door, you know, philosophy, which is good in certain situations if necessary for certain things. But would you say that your life has been that way, as you're moving your feet and listening to God in that season, that He opens the right door at the right time?
Oh my gosh, so much so. It's so crazy, because even just today I had a conversation with someone and I'm like, this is completely full circle. Like, and then being able to connect to very influential people, but because I knew both of them individually from, you know, doing work, individual work, that I was able to connect that. Like, I mean, so many different opportunities that I've been able to receive just, you know, because like you said, I do believe that when it's the right time, it's going to happen. And it may not happen. Oftentimes, from my experience, it doesn't happen the way I envision. Usually when it happens, it's better. Like, I'm like, I didn't see this. Like, you know, and I think one of the things that I've learned over the last couple of years is to be open to what vision we have, but understanding that it may not look like what we think it is. God may have it look like something different. And so that's a hard one, because you're like, but I saw this, like, I saw this opportunity happen, and I know that it was supposed to be. And it's like, no, God is like, no, but it's coming, but that's not exactly what I had in mind for you. And that, I mean, it can be hard, but like, it's also a beautiful thing when things come to fruition the way they need to.
Keyword better. That's what you were saying. That's what I grabbed out of that. Keyword better. We can only see a small piece. My mom always says that you only see, Tosh, a piece of the puzzle, a piece. Remind yourself that you see a piece. God sees the whole entire thing.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, reminding ourselves that, yes, especially those listening who are planners and quote unquote overachievers and really want things. You know, I planned it. It needs to go this way. Well, if 2020 taught us anything.
Listen, say that again.
Okay. It should be that our plans can be changed. It will be changed. And so we have to be open and knowing that God sees a whole picture. We only see part. So tell us, if you were to go back and speak to your younger self, what would you tell her?
Oh my goodness. That's a good question, because, well, a couple of things I would tell her. One is that you are enough. You don't need any more degrees. You don't need any more experience. You are enough with what you know, with your knowledge, and you're enough in who you are, what you look like. The other thing I would tell her is, you know, to be confident and love who you are, you know, because I know the impact of, you know, other people. And I think a lot of times we discount what we do, and understanding that people are led to their purpose based off of something that they may have seen us do, something that they may have encountered with us. And so a lot of times I go back to, it's not about you. Yeah. Like, a lot of times we make so many things about us, and it's really not. So I would definitely tell my younger self, like, you are enough. Stop being like, stop holding back. Stop, you know, hiding.
Making yourself small. Ooh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think that's the biggest lesson. Like, there's so many things I was like, ooh, I should have done that a long time ago, you know, or I should have done that when I was in that situation. So, but, you know, fear and like feeling like I needed to know more, you know, or be more, have more connections. And it's like, nah, like, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. God's got you. Yeah. Amen. Yes. I love that. Mm-hmm. Love that. So last words to the woman who is there and still maybe thinking like, okay, I want to start, but I have this dream in my heart, or maybe she's tried and failed flat. You know, she's tried a blog, or she's tried speaking, or, you know, and it just has not worked. What are your last words to her to convince her to keep going, to start?
Yes. Well, I think you just said it. Like, honestly, I've been there, right? We've all been there, you know, wanting to do something, you have an idea, it fails, or you're just like, oh my gosh, like, what if it doesn't work? Honestly, like, taking that first step every time, starting before you feel like you're ready to start, right? Because you're going to learn as you go. If you don't, like, somebody, you're going to find out how you need to do something, you know, as you're going, but you'll never actually figure it out if you don't get started. And so, you know, whether you do it today or 5 years from now, again, that's a choice. But, you know, one of the things that I always say is, like, you don't want to have this idea that you sit on and then you see somebody else execute on that idea. And you're like, oh, man, I sat on that. Like, I've seen that happen before. Mm-hmm. That is not a good feeling. And so you don't want to be that person. So even if you don't have all the answers, have faith that, you know enough and you can do enough to be able to get there.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I love that. So this is the part, one of our favorite parts of the interview, rapid fire questions.
Oh,
coming
okay.
your way, coming your
All right.
way.
I'm going to try to be rapid. Okay.
You know, and I thought to myself the other day, I was like, I think once I ask, they're never the answers are never rapid back, but it's okay. I call them rapid fire. It's all right. So tell us what song is currently on repeat.
Oh, geez. Okay. Oh, man. What song is currently on? Geez. Okay. I'm so bad at naming songs. So I'm going to cheat and look at my last song.
Well, you can tell us like maybe some of the words, you know how that goes, or hum it for us.
Okay. I'm just going to say, it's not even on repeat anymore, but the song that I was listening to this morning working out was Brown Skin Girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it hits home so much because of my insecurity with being a brown skin girl, dark skin girl growing up. And then also like being able to now love my skin I'm in and teach my girls the same. So I would say that that's definitely like my thing. My
answer. Yes. Anthem, yeah. Empowerment song. Yes. No, I love it. I love it. Love it. What food would you not want to live without?
Ooh, I'm going to go with pizza.
Ooh. Okay.
So it's simple. You can do so much with it. Like, that's a hard one because I'm also like a sweets junkie, but I'm trying to get away from too many sweets. So I'm trying to do better.
Oh, me too. Dessert. I'm just like, you're not going to do other things I'll give away, but I'm like, that dessert.
Yeah. I'm usually a dessert person, but I'm like, okay, try to get away.
So I have to know, pizza, are you the California wild pineapples and walnuts and ham on there, or are you the traditional, like, give me the pepperoni?
I'm so boring. I don't even do really pepperoni. I'm like cheese, or I might do like, you know, a veggie, like mushroom, tomato, spinach.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's me too. That's me too. I don't have to have any meat at all.
I don't. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do wings on the side, but I don't need
my pizza. Wings on the side. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. So favorite time of the year?
Summer.
Okay. Yeah. And where you are,
it's beautiful. I hate the cold. Yeah. I mean, it can get hot and humid, but everybody else complains around me, and that's, you know, I'm like, bring me the heat.
I hear you. No, I hear it. Yeah. It's super hot. So what chore do you least like to do?
Dishes.
Oh, yes.
Dishes. I can't. I hate dishes.
I do too. Especially after you've cooked. So you cooked, and then I'm going to sit here another 30 minutes to clean up all of this.
Right.
I agree. But what makes you smile?
Oh, so many things, but definitely my family, my husband and my kids. And it's so funny. My husband is a clown and always joking around, and my kids have definitely gotten, each of them have his personality in them to the point where it's like, really? You're going to clown me like that? Like, that's what we're doing? Yeah, so.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Last one, God is?
Ooh. Constant.
Amen.
Constant.
Amen. We can depend on him.
Yes.
So, Christine, tell everyone who's at the edge of their seat wondering, how can I connect with this amazing woman who is inspiring me? And then tell us about books, all that. I have to get those links from you. Yes. Just all the things.
Thank you so very much. Thanks again for this. I had so much fun chatting with you.
Too.
So thank you for doing this and inviting me on your show. So I am everywhere online. My blog is momsincharge.com. I am on social media at momsincharge.com. And you can also find me in my Facebook group. I have a free Facebook group for mompreneurs and solopreneurs who have, you know, looking to grow their audience, their influence, and their income using social media strategies. So I'm over there. You can definitely join me over in the Facebook group, and we do some trainings and things like that. And then you can also check out my book that I co-authored with my sister at whoshoesbook.com.
Oh, I love it. As a matter of fact, surprise, we'll be giving away a copy of that book. So all you have to do, guys, is take a screenshot of this episode when it airs and tag Christine and I, and you will be in the drawing for a copy of that book.
Yay.
So yes, thank you again, Christine. I got to have you. I mean, there's so many. I'm thinking of, oh, I got to have her on again for this, for that.
Oh yeah, there's definitely more we can uncover.
Yes, absolutely. Guys, please make sure you connect with her, especially that Facebook group, and get with her blog, all the things, connect with her. I have all that in the show notes. So thank you again, Christine. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Latasha.